Greetings! Greetings once again. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week. Through the lens of original thought, it's good to be back. And I was driven, just driven to do the show this week. Couldn't miss it because of this bombshell blockbuster report that just came out. That's right. It's a blockbuster. It's a bombshell. You're not going to believe this. I hope you're sitting down. According to CBS whistleblower Catherine Herridge, the network covered up for Hunter Biden in stories related to his laptop in order to interfere with the 2022 midterm elections. I know, it's shocking to imagine that CBS might have covered up that Hunter Biden was a lowlife and the whole laptop thing. Anyway, I'm looking at the news this morning, and here's this giant headline. Whistleblower Catherine Herridge drops bomb. Networks sat on Hunter Biden's laptop. And I'm thinking, wasn't this like a big story 6 years ago? Well, maybe it was only 5 years ago now. How can we keep ginning and grinding out sausage about Hunter Biden's laptop? And how can that be interesting to anyone? Why would anyone click on this headline 5 years after everyone knows it's obvious that everybody lied about everything having to do with the 2020 election? Forget the 2022 midterms. Look, and knock my coffee over. Look at that. So excited. So you can imagine I'm a bit perplexed as to why recycled obvious news from 5 years ago is still being churned out as some form of clickbait. I don't know. I don't get it myself. Oh, you know what I think? I think that just the term Hunter Biden laptop is so lurid at this point that it's effective clickbait no matter what. And so my advice would be don't click on it. I didn't even click on the story. I just copied the headline because I thought this is ridiculous that this is a story. But there it is. It's a story. And then I come up to the studio here and I fire up my Windows laptop, which I still have because I don't know. I have a Windows laptop because I don't know why. It's like, I mean, anyway, but I turn on the screen and here is how can I describe what I saw? For those of you who have Windows, which I assume there's a few of us left.
I have it. This,
right. Anyway, for those few people who still have Windows, Microsoft now force feeds a picture onto your screen all the time, and you don't have any control over what it is. Is it just me, or is that everybody?
Yeah, mine does.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's called Microsoft Spotlight, and it just chooses a picture based on who knows what, and it puts a picture on your screen every time it's different. Maybe not every time, but like every week or so. Anyway, and it's always something pretty and sometimes it's even, I even appreciate it. I've even looked into some of the pictures they put on there. I'm like, hey, that's pretty cool. Okay, so today, it's a picture of, it's a sanitized, fantasized, AI-generated skyline of something like Dubai with the Burj Khalifa in the background. The only reason I knew it was some sort of fantasized, hyperfied image of Dubai's skyline was because of the Burj Khalifa, because I know what the Burj Khalifa looks like because I've done stories on not being so happy about the religion of peace building the tallest skyscraper in the world and all of that. So we know about the Burj Khalifa, right? So there it is. I'm wondering, why is there a picture of the Burj Khalifa on my Microsoft Windows laptop? And it just happens to be the same week that Bill Gates was outed as an even bigger creep than everybody thought he already was. It turns out he's really, really a lowlife creep, even worse than we thought. And we never held him in all that high esteem around here. And I don't think he's been held in high esteem outside of people that he's directly funding for quite some time. Pretty much everybody knows you're a creep, Bill. Now, we didn't think it was that bad, but there you go. So, the same week Bill Gates is outed as a gigantic mega creep, Microsoft starts posting pictures of the Burj Khalifa and the skyline of Dubai. And it just strikes me. I wonder, is it possible that in his deal with the devil, because we all know the devil lives in Dubai, maybe Bill Gates, in his deal with the devil, he's having to make extra payments this week in hopes of somehow having the devil put in a fix on the fact that everyone just found out that Bill Gates is a bigger creep than any of us even thought. Well, Bill, you can put up pictures of the skyline of the devil's hometown all you want. Even the devil can't make you look good after all this, Bill. Not even a deal with it. Not even Satan himself can fix it up and patch it up and slap makeup on it and put lipstick on that pig and make you look good. Can't. Can't do it. So maybe Bill will figure that out this week, Bill Gates. Maybe God will start looking like a viable alternative to Bill Gates after all these years. Perhaps. Well, even Bill Gates could be saved. As I know, as unlikely as that seems. Even Bill Gates. Okay. Now, from there, I want to go to the other compelling reason I had to do the show this week was the advice column by Jamila Lemieux. Jamila Lemieux. Now, forgive me if that doesn't sound completely made up, okay? I mean, I got this story from when I log on to Firefox, the Mozilla bot takes me to the Mozilla generic page, and it gives you some default headlines from Mozilla, who are obviously a bunch of left-wing perverts. Because it's always dreadful left-wing news. On the same level with my Yahoo Mail average moron feed. It's right in there. Just pathetic and left-wing. And so here's the headline that I saw on my Mozilla Firefox default headline feed. My daughter's teacher is processing something big in the classroom. He needs to stop. And then the Dateline advice by Jamila Lemieux. The name Jamila Lemieux seems made up to me, but if it's not made up, is it racist for me to assume that Jamila is a black girl? Is that racist? What is it sexist for me to assume Jamila is a girl? Maybe I shouldn't even comment on this story for fear of offending everyone. The women, the black people, the brown people, the French. That's right. Jamila Lemieux. Anyway, it just sounds like an AI-generated personality and not a real person. But let's get to the... So you know the format of an advice column, right? The alleged author takes a letter that was written to her and publishes it in the newspaper and then gives the advice. So for those of you who are living in the 21st century and you're not familiar, there you go. Here's the letter from the distressed reader. My husband and I have a 13-year-old daughter, Reese. One of Reese's teachers experienced a divorce a few months back. Okay, so it's right there, okay? Nobody writes that in a letter. My daughter's teacher experienced a divorce. Nobody... Nobody says that. So already I'm suspecting this is, maybe this isn't real, but there might be some entertainment value in it, so I kept reading it. So anyway, one of Reese's teachers experienced a divorce. Now he spends the entire class period going on at length about what a B.I. his ex-wife is. Okay. and how he never gets to see his young son anymore. I understand that he's going through a very difficult time, but using his students as a sounding board is not appropriate. And their education is being shortchanged. Okay, so stop right there, Mom. Nobody refers to their daughter as his students and their education is being shortchanged. I'm just sorry. For you, for whoever's programming the AI chatbot that wrote this, I mean, you could do a better job at making it sound human, for crying out loud. Anyway, their education, nobody refers to their child as their. Oh, sorry. And when you're writing a letter asking advice from an advice columnist, you don't care about the rest of the class and refer to it with a general pronoun. You talk about your kid because you're talking about your kid you want. All right, I'm out. Their education is being shortchanged. Should I request a meeting with Reese's teacher or go straight to the principal? That's her question because she needs advice. And then she signs the letter, signed, get an actual therapist. Kind of cutesy. You know, instead of, you know, Deborah or Mom in Toledo, she signs it, signed, get an actual therapist. And then the response from Jamila starts with, dear actual therapist. And so any of you who've received AI-generated messaging know that it just grabs a piece of the... And so it's possible that Jamila has already been... If Jamila was ever a real person, Jamila Lemieux. Oh, yeah. If Jamila Lemieux was ever a real person, she may have already been replaced by an AI chatbot, and we can tell because the response is published as Dear Actual Therapist, as if it was grabbed out of a field in a database. But anyway, now, I've already confessed that it was racist of me to assume that Jamila was black. Almost as racist as to assume that the last name Lemieux could imply that she was French. But probably more racist because it involved saying the word black, which that's very racist right there. And so let me apologize up front for the racism, but I'm going to assume that Jamila is from Baton Rouge and that her father or grandfather may or may not have been a Cajun. Jamila Lemieux. Here is Jamila Lemieux's advice back to actual therapist. Dear actual therapist, while I understand why you may be sympathetic to this man, we have no idea what he may have done to lead to his divorce. The fact that he was complaining about his ex-wife on the job and to children does not bode well for him. Go straight to the principal, girl. We don't want this guy to impress any more of his anti-woman attitudes upon a class full of impressionable children. If he doesn't see the problem with complaining to students about his divorce woes, I shudder to think what kind of impact he's having on the young people in his class. Plus, as you point out, he's costing them valuable education time. It sounds like he needs some help, and I hope he get it in the near future. But the most important thing is that he stops sounding off in front of the kids immediately. The principal can't stop him, but they need to know what's going on. Tell them. Unquote. That's Jamila Lemieux. So one more clue that it was AI-programmed response is that the AI... Now, obviously, the accent was not AI-generated. That's one of the reasons AI will never replace talk show hosts is because nobody else can do that.
Eventually.
You think AI could do... AI will be programmed. You can't do a black girl attitude... black girl attitude with an accent. That can't be done because it's too racist. It's too politically incorrect. Everything is so wrong with it, they'll never program it to do that.
I think it's already...
So, well, anyway, AI was obviously programmed to include the they, them pronouns at the end. Did you notice what Jamila said? The principal can stop him, but they need to know what's going on. Since when is the principal they? It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you very much, young lady. You can put the instruments away. Put the synthesizer away. Nobody knows what she was talking about, but it was catchy. So the other compelling motivation for me doing two shows a week apart, which I know it's been... I'm trying to get back into the groove, but another one of the... motivations was the Lindsey Vonn story was just so compelling, as it has been so many times for so many years. I can imagine Lindsey Vonn, right? She, in the kitchen when she was 7, asking her mom, "Mom, can I do anything I want?" And Lindsay's mom said, "Lindsay, you can do anything you want." "Really, Mom? Do you think I could win gold at the Olympics even with a torn ACL?" And her mom said, "Lindsay, you can do it. You can do anything." And so Lindsay went out there. You go, girl. So maybe now Lindsey Vonn will finally retire. Finally, we wish her the best, by the way. God bless her, and God bless her doctors, and all of that.
Oh, she's sick?
Oh, you didn't know?
I'm sorry, I don't
know. Well, I just say you to go look at the news, and it'll all become obvious. But I thought the fact that you laughed so heartily meant that you had seen the headlines already, but... Anyway, Lindsay will not be on the dais receiving a medal at the Olympics. We'll just leave it at that. Meanwhile, no, it's okay. Because you know what the thing is? Even though she's injured and she'll probably have to have surgery and whatever, she'll be fine. She's a multimillionaire and, you know, hopefully this just gets her attention and everyone's attention. I mean, if you think you can do anything you want, anything that's in your heart because you're so special, you're not. And no matter how much the corporate machine gets behind you and pushes to make you famous forever, at some point it's all going to break down and you're going to end up in a pile of tears and cringing, and that's all. You're just human, all of us. And it would be good for the millennial generation, which Lindsey Vonn is the textbook billboard example of the millennial generation, who needs constant affirmation that you're just human and you're not any more special than your mom or dad or your grandparents or the World War II generation or anyone else. Just get over yourselves, bunch of whining brats. Okay, but we love you. Sometimes it's good to tell a kid that he's a whining brat. That's all kid needs to hear. Now, speaking of all of that, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, has just executed quite possibly the most cunning and subtle political moves of all time, because it's quite possible. I'm going to make a prediction, which I never do because I'm almost always wrong. But I'm going to make a prediction that this move that Donald Trump just made means that by the time 26, by the time 2028, the next presidential election rolls around, The leftist news media organs will be lobbying for Donald Trump to be allowed to run for a third term. That's right. The New York Times, CBS, who broke the big story on the the leftist media covering up the... Oh, no. CBS didn't break that story. They covered up Hunter Biden's laptop. Did you all get that? I know that was shocking news. Catherine Herridge had to come out as a whistleblower, because before we all thought she was just a left-wing reporter for the last 20 years. But yeah, now she's a... but anyway, even CBS, Catherine Herridge, CNN, Don Lemon, and who's the other guy on there with the white hair, with the fake white hair? I can't remember the CNN guy with the fake white hair. Anyway, CNN, Don Lemon, and all their boyfriends will all be endorsing Donald Trump for a third term by the time 2028 rolls around. If Donald Trump keeps pulling off cunning, crafty, and subtle political moves like this one, Donald Trump has announced he's giving cheap drugs to anyone who needs them. And in America, that's pretty much everyone. Everyone's on drugs, everyone needs drugs, and everyone's spending way more money on drugs than they want to, because they have other appetites and lusts that they would like to satisfy with the money that they're currently spending on their drugs. And so Donald Trump has launched Trump RX. Have you been on here yet? He asked his extremely attractive audio engineer.
I don't do prescriptions.
You don't have any prescriptions? Not one?
On the street.
We only buy our drugs on the street. Old school, like back in the 80s. Actually, I don't think I'm on any prescriptions at the moment, and I don't think you are either at the moment. Now, not that we want to share our private health information with anyone. Did we sign any HIPAA disclosures before we went on the air? Maybe we're not allowed to talk about this. Anyway, we might be the only people in our, let's just say, middle age who are not yet on any prescriptions at all.
60.
No, we're not even close to 60. Get out of here with that. All right. But Donald Trump, tell me this guy isn't a political genius, and I mean that in the same sense. When I say subtle, I mean that in the same sense as Genesis chapter 3. And so if you don't know what that means you're biblically illiterate, and you should have got a chuckle there. And if you didn't, go back and read Genesis chapter 3, and then you'll get it. And you got to read it in the King James Bible, or they mess it all up. So when I make jokes, they go back way further than even the 1980s. That's right. They go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Uh-huh. Anyway, Donald Trump, a very subtle, cunning, crafty politician, has announced a website that is going to deliver prescription drugs at the lowest prices anywhere in the world, says Donald Trump. Anywhere in the world? That's kind of like coldest beer in town. That's not meant to be checked. It's a tagline. It's a slogan. We all have to give Don a little bit of grace on that one. He doesn't expect anyone to check into actually the price of every drug everywhere on the world. It's only the big drugs, the ones everybody really, really wants. Those are the ones that Don is going to make cheap enough that even the folks at NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, even at MSNBC, the reporters will be signing up their moms and dads for Donald Trump's cheap drugs. And then they'll sign up for cheap drugs themselves. And if the government legalizes mushrooms and other cocaine, then Donald Trump will make those as cheap as possible on the website as well. By the way, why are we allowing drug dealers from South America to sneak drugs into the country on boats? Why isn't the government making a profit on those? In fact, we could all share it. In fact, the government could buy into the industry that produces the cocaine and the methamphetamine and the psilocybin, and then we'll make it cheap for everyone on Trump RX. And in 2028, everyone at MSNBC will be endorsing Donald Trump for a third term. Anyway, we haven't been on Trump RX yet. But it's just a matter of time before they suck us into the whole prescription drug, big pharma, big medicine complex, right? I don't know. Me personally, I am fully prepared for the idea that everything's going to get relatively more painful and annoying until I'm miserable, and then I die. And I don't know, maybe I'll be convinced to take drugs to drag that out a little bit longer so that I can, I don't know, get my money back from Medicaid and Medicare and Social Security. All that money they took from me, I want it back. Well, man, you can keep it, frankly. Let's see, this launch, we have a quote here from Donald Trump, who gave a news conference announcing cheap drugs for everyone. Tell me that's not politically brilliant. I mean, I grew up in the 80s. I remember how drugs were viewed in the 80s. My grandmother, she had a nightside stand. There were so many pill bottles on there, my brother and I were dazzled. We were like going through, like, how could grandma take this many pills? She dropped dead at 62 years old. Anyway, so drugs were really popular back then. They're enormously more popular now. And now with the government legalizing recreational hallucinogenic and stimulative drugs. And I know you laugh at me and you think it's radical to assume that the government would ever legalize cocaine and methamphetamine and fentanyl and everything else and start making money off it. I guarantee you that will happen in my lifetime. That the government will not only legalize dangerous drugs, sinful, evil, criminal drugs, our government will legalize them, start producing them, making money on them. That's another bold prediction, that'll happen in my lifetime. Well, I'd say it's only going to happen in my lifetime if I decide to start taking drugs to prolong my life. Me personally, once things get miserable enough, I'd rather just go, frankly. But we'll see. I say that now, but I'm not dying, at least not quickly at the moment. Trump said in a news conference, "This launch represents the largest reduction of prescription drug prices in history by many, many times. And it's not even close." It's not even close. Now, that's the way you give a launch statement on your new company. It's bigger and biggest and bigger than anything that's ever been big. It's so big, it's not even close. And then everybody's trying to think, how do we check that metric to see if he's telling the truth? He said it's the biggest ever by many, many, many times, and it's not even close. You know what? We just have to move on. There's no way to really fact check that, because Donald Trump, he's a salesman. And when Donald Trump figured out that he could start selling drugs to liberals, he knows he can get the liberals on his side. The liberals are slowly already, they've been flocking toward Donald Trump. You remember Kid Rock? He used to be a liberal.
Donald Trump.
Oh, wait a minute. Donald Trump. We've all forgotten. Donald Trump's a liberal. It's just a matter of time before all the liberals end up on his side, for crying out loud. The guy did Howard Stern's show for 20 years. He was a liberal. Hey, and by the way, and I'm not going to name this person because she's such a disgusting and vile and awful person, but to see Donald Trump and TPUSA and other alleged conservatives who are no longer conservatives, they're just racketeers in the pro-family industry, to see them holding hands with a person who is basically a drug dealer and a prostitute who got a record deal, and now she's the voice of MAGA conservatism among the drug-dealing prostitute class, was just frankly disgusting. It was disgusting, and it made me sick to think that all of these people would publicly associate them with someone this low on the human food chain. It's just, it's a sign of things to come, and it makes me think that my mom was right. Everyone is on drugs. Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. All right, Thank you very much. Do we have any more on Donald Trump becoming America's most successful drug dealer? No, these are all therapeutic drugs, Doug. Drugs that people need for quality of life. Okay. All right. Let's see. Democrats at the moment, since the story came out in the LA Times, which is officially still an anti-Trump organ, it's at the moment. Policy experts say the jury's still out on whether or not Donald Trump's going to actually save anyone else any real money on the... Well, by the way, which drugs are they and how much? Okay. Now we go on. We have a comment here from Senator Rand Paul, who's a libertarian. And Rand Paul claims to be a libertarian, claims to be a Christian. Rand, God is not a libertarian, just so you know. Neither is Jesus. They're not libertarians. They don't think people should be left to their own devices to just figure things out based on the goodness of their own heart. And there's a whole book about it. You have to read the whole book to get the whole picture, Rand, but having faith in Jesus Christ and God should lead any thinking person to reject libertarianism. I don't even know how to say libertarianism, did I say? A little Freudian slip there. It's libertarianism, but I said libertarianism, which is maybe a word I just made up for Rand Paul. But anyway, Rand Paul has said something that I agree with. And so in the interest of always giving credit where credit is due, we go to Rand Paul, where he was asked a question by Stephanie Ruhle, who I'm not sure who she is or where what she is, but she asked Rand Paul a question. And she said, do you think it's okay for ICE to be wearing these masks? Now, if you're a MAGA, turn your hat around and just stop and think about that for a second. Before you answer with your knee jerk, think about that for a second. Is it okay for ICE to be wearing these masks? Here's Rand Paul's answer. I think that anonymity and wearing a mask leads to less responsible behavior. The images where I've seen ICE agents in masks, in a courthouse, in an elevator, I think it's inappropriate. It doesn't seem appropriate, unquote, said Rand Paul. He said, it doesn't seem appropriate that ICE agents should be masked up. He also said that it's not appropriate for local police to wear masks. He said, why do these federal agents need to wear masks when the local police in Chicago with the gangs right there who could hunt them down and shoot them, the local cops aren't wearing any masks? Why are the federal agents wearing masks? Well, if you've listened to this show for any period of time, you know my position on masks. I think they're okay for Halloween for a few hours if you're at a party and if that's your thing, that it would be appropriate for you to wear a mask. Well, and then let's say you have to vacuum out the back corners of your garage where things have, you know, gathered for decades. I think it's appropriate to wear a mask.
Well, when you rob a bank.
Yeah, if you're robbing a bank, a mask is totally appropriate. Yes. But cops should not be wearing masks. They should not. And if your society has degenerated to the point where you think the police have to wear masks in order to be protected from whatever it is, I guess it's from doxing and from being hunted down and punished for being police. If your civilization has degenerated to that point, you need to stop and re-examine everything you're doing because something is very, very wrong if the police have to wear masks. And then if conservatives feel like they have to defend the police wearing masks, oh, whatever it is you call conservatism, it ain't that anymore. Police should not be wearing masks. To be a police officer means you already accept the fact that you could be killed for what you're doing and that the bad guys might hunt you down and get you, but you're courageous enough to put your face out there, put the uniform on, put the badge on your chest, and go out and do it. if you're not that, you shouldn't be doing it, and you shouldn't be putting on a mask and going out and screaming at people and cursing at them to get out of their car and to get on the ground. And I see the videos. The cops are so vulgar and profane, it's really scary. I mean, if a guy in a mask points a gun at me and starts screaming swear words at me, I'm sorry, I don't assume he's a good guy. That's all. Color me old-fashioned. But I agree with Rand Paul. Not only ICE agents, no cops should be wearing masks. And if they are, something's very wrong. We need to reevaluate everything we're doing. Let's see. Is there a story that I can... In fact, let me do this. Since we're talking about cops and crime and punishment and reevaluating everything we're doing, listen to this story. Big headline on the conservative news MAGA organs about how great police are. Human trafficking crackdown nets more than 600 suspects. And so all the conservatives, they get pumped up because we love the police, right? We love law enforcement. We love black and white justice. We love it when the bad guy is declared evil and the good guy wins and the bad guy is punished because we're normal Americans. And so we like the police. Here at the Weekly Worldview, we generally like the police. We like law enforcement. We like laws that strike fear into the hearts of evildoers who would do wrong. We love the fact that God has endowed ministers with the right to carry the sword, and he doesn't carry the sword in vain, to execute judgment against the evildoer. We love it. It's godly and biblical. At least the institution as ordained by God is godly and biblical. Is what's happening in America right now for my entire adult life godly and biblical? Well, you judge. Listen to this. So the big headline gets every conservative's blood boiling in a tent. Yes, God bless America. Human trafficking crackdown. 600 dirtbags arrested. Yes, love it. But then you read the article. Authorities in Los Angeles last week announced a statewide crackdown on human trafficking. Arrests were made. More than 600 suspects were arrested. About 170 victims were rescued. And you're thinking, this is amazing. If we keep doing this, we'll eliminate all the bad guys. Anyone who would kidnap and sell another human being, well, they'll all be arrested. And thank heaven we've got the ball rolling with Operation Reclaim and Rebuild, we read. It's in the article. Oh, and then you keep reading. The week-long Operation Reclaim and Rebuild campaign was part of a yearly effort by the Los Angeles Regional Human Trafficking Task Force and 80 local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies, and you sit back and you're like, an annual, yearly effort? So they did this last year, too? Oh, they did it last year, too, and the year before, and the year before, and the year before, and the year before. And they plan to do this next year, and the next year, and the next year, and the next, and the next, next, next. And so you start realizing that, wait a second, this really isn't all that good of news. It seems like that we're tolerating people kidnapping and selling other human beings to the point where there's like an industry of people that we're now hiring to go and put masks on and go arrest these people once a year. And then we churn them through. And how come we haven't solved the problem of the... But by the way, I don't like the word human trafficking. Don't like it. It's kidnapping. Slavery is what it is. Kidnapping and slavery. How come we can't use words like that? Human trafficking almost sounds like it's a legitimate... They're just not quite doing it right. I don't know. Why would you use a euphemism for kidnapping and slavery? Are you not wanting to offend kidnappers and slave traders? Are we not allowed to insult them either?
Sounds like there's cats in...
Oh, maybe that's it. The human trafficking. Maybe they're setting it up so that eventually, you know, we can manufacture the cocaine, the methamphetamine, and the opiates, and we could get in on this human trafficking trade. I mean, if it's going to happen, I mean, we should at least be making money on it, right? Shouldn't America have a piece of the action there so that we can be great again on the human trafficking? And then what about the sex trade? That used to be called prostitution. Harlotry. Oh, what did he say? Harlotry? Yeah, harlotry, which is often tied to kidnapping and slavery. So, which it's all very gross and dirty business. Why do you want to clean it up with words like the sex trade and human trafficking? You know, this is what happens when you have an industry around vulgar, sickening, disgusting crime, is that you end up with vernacular and nomenclature that's very clean and clinical and academic to describe what should make you sick to your stomach and want to put your hands on the neck of the guy who did it. Now it's so, well, he's a human trafficker in the sex trade. Well, you know, he's got a nice suit. He's got a good lawyer, shows up at court, pays the fees, and before you know it, he's back out on the street. But that's okay, because the Los Angeles Regional Human Trafficking Task Force, well, they need work too. So, you know, the human traffickers and the sex trade people, they're serving a legitimate purpose, keeping the whole industry around the Human Trafficking Task Force going. Didn't you know, Doug, we have 80 local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies who are relying on these sex traffickers and the sex traders. Those who don't do it appropriately, we arrest them. We do it once a year. It's like a trade show. Come back and get a booth next year. Folks, without the death penalty for kidnappers, the people who kidnap and sell other people should be put to death. And if they're not, then it's like a rinse and repeat. And if we do, it will produce more arrests next year. And there will be a bigger headline. And how many were arrested this year? 600? Next year, they'll arrest 750, and they'll call that a success. And we'll all have been so brainwashed as to believe that it's successful. But having a consistent threat of kidnapping and slavery, well, we shouldn't have any of that, ever. I mean, if you do come across an incidence of kidnapping and slavery, it should be like a shocking one-off that everybody's like, I can't believe that happened. But instead, there's a whole industry. You can arrest 600 of them just in L.A. It's shocking. All right. So where do I go from there? I'm not sure where to. Okay, let's just go here because if you think nothing's shocking anymore, well, this actually shocked me when I read about it, and I think it will you. And I think I'm just going to say this and report on this just so that we can all realize that we can still be shocked. So we probably need to know this at this point. From thesmokinggun.com, an Olive Garden employee died from burn injuries he suffered after thrusting his head into a deep fryer on purpose.
What?
Yes. In what police have categorized as a suicide attempt. Well, first of all, that's just shocking, right?
Is it really?
I don't know. Could this be a fake story? It almost sounds like it's got to be a fake story. But I didn't just check the Smoking Gun. I looked at the local newspapers, and it seems like a real story. Seems like a real story in Pennsylvania. I looked at the local news. So first of all, I wonder, why did the police categorize it as a suicide attempt? Because it says that the guy died. So it seems like it was a suicide. It's like the worst type of suicide I can imagine. The only thing I could imagine worse would be jumping feet first into a wood chipper. That would be maybe worse. Maybe. The decedent worked as a cook at the Olive Garden. This event took place on January 30th. And according to the local newspaper, the Olive Garden in question, that Olive Garden location, closed for a couple of days after the incident. And so a couple things. Number one, what could be a problem in your life that could be so bad that you would want to, that it would compel you to feel, I just can't even imagine. The level of misery and pain that this person was going through is just truly astonishing. But then also, the enormous level of selfishness and self-aggrandizement that one, that this person was aspiring to in killing himself this particular way. This was demanding everyone look at me right now and feel bad for me right now. And this guy should be shamed. It should be a shameful thing for doing something like this. So to force everyone to look at you and feel sorry for you, it's just childish, selfish, and suicide should be condemned. This man is to be condemned. Is it okay to stop and ask what could be going on in society that's driving people to these type of extremes? Yes, it's okay. It's okay to stop and ask that. We ask it every week here on the Weekly Worldview. But this guy should be condemned. He's a selfish, self-aggrandizing, childish, petulant. Yeah, anyway. And it serves him right. He thought the whole world would stop on a dime in horror, which I suppose everybody who read the story probably did stop on a dime. But the Olive Garden itself, it only closed for a couple days after the incident. And so if you think the whole world revolves around you, and you think you can grab the whole world's attention and hold it for any amount of time, well, this should be a lesson to you that you can't. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thanks for sticking with us as we home in on the end of the show. And it might not go a full hour because there's just not that much interesting. But I did manage to come back in just 1 week, so I hope you understand and realize that I'm making some progress and getting back to something approaching normalcy. We go to Russia, where Russia has discovered. They have a federal customs service in Russia, and they're serious. You know, I remember one time I had to smuggle a large piece of equipment into a foreign country, and to avoid a significant tax, I wonder if I should confess this on the air because it's probably some sort of felony. But so I brought this piece of equipment into a foreign country, and they asked me at the airport what it was. And I said what it was very quickly, but then I just kept talking about other things until eventually I just talked my way through customs, and they never did figure out that what they should do is stop me and analyze the item because it was a taxable item, but I was hoping maybe I could get through without paying the tax, and in fact I did just kept talking and... So in that country, the customs, what do they call it? The customs service was not all that serious. You could distract them, offer them a cigarette, glass of rum, and you could sneak something right through. But in Russia, they're serious. They discovered what was being advertised as a garden ornament. Someone was wanting to export a garden ornament out of Russia, and it weighed almost 3 tons. So, really, this is a garden ornament? Interesting. This is very heavy. Let us take a closer look. And it turns out it was a giant fragment of the meteorite Altai. 2.8 tons, this fragment. This is just a fragment of the meteorite. That must have been a big meteorite. Anyway, this fragment's worth about $4 million. The meteorite Altai was discovered in western China in 1898. And listen to this, folks. This is according to CBS News, who we just learned, shockingly, covered up bad stories about Hunter Biden back to elect a sock puppet in 2020. Like, we're all, oh, I didn't notice all that. That was pretty slick how they covered that up. Anyway, so according to CBS, the Altai meteorite is thought to be at least 4.5 billion years old. At least. Could be older. Mm-hmm. But it's at least it's thought to be. What does that mean, it's thought to be? Oh, that means they actually don't know how old it is. But CBS is publishing that it's thought to be 4.5 billion years old because they've made their own deal with the devil. And they've agreed that whatever they publish when it comes to ages of the universe or the world or pretty much anything they find on the world, they've all agreed to include at least one fact that deviates from the biblical record. Just so that they can cause doubt in people's minds about the Bible. That's the whole operation. All of the media exists and is funded by satanic minions in order to diminish the credibility of the Bible. That's Satan's entire... The reason there is news on a daily basis churned out with clickbait and news reporters is so that the devil can diminish the credibility of the Bible. And it's a mission that he's on a daily basis. That's why there's news. And it's why reading the news every week, even every week, has become quite distasteful for me. Anyway, we don't know how old this meteorite is, but listen to this. Here's an interesting little factoid in the story. It says, Altai is of similar age to a similar meteorite that ripped through the roof of a home in Georgia in the United States last year. And so, unintentionally, CBS has accidentally said something that is probably true, is that these two meteorites are of a similar age. That's probably true. They're probably of a similar origin. They're probably of a similar structural, physical makeup, and they're probably of a similar age. But CBS doesn't even know why they might have accidentally told part of the truth, because they're all on their way straight to hell with jet rockets, which is evidenced by the fact that they worked diligently to cover up embarrassing stories about Joe Biden and his family in order to steal the election in 2020 and all of that. So let's go. Meanwhile, we have big news from Chuck Grassley. Chuck Grassley is a senator. Chuck Grassley was first elected in 1958. When I read that, I thought, that can't be true. Nobody could be alive still who was elected in 1958. I said 58. Well, Chuck Grassley is not only alive, he's still in the government. Since 1958. Gotta be kidding me, right? And he's breaking news? Really? Well, listen, Chuck's a little bit behind the curve. He broke the big story this past week. He says there are multiple records that indicate that the Swiss bank, Credit Suisse, had almost 900 accounts in the bank that have been linked to the Nazi regime of the 1930s and 40s from back in World War II. Chuck Grassley's breaking the news. The Swiss bank accounts were where the Nazis were hiding their money. No way, Chuck. How long have you been investigating that? I think Chuck Grassley's been investigating the possibility that the Nazis hid their money in the secret bank accounts where every criminal organization for all of history has always hid their money for all time. He's been investigating that for almost as long as he's been sitting atop the bureaucracy that's been in charge of the greatest looting of the treasury in the history of the world. That's Chuck Grassley. Oh, and by the way, he's investigating Nazi bank accounts. Chuck Grassley has been involved in government activities during the greatest mass murder of human beings in all of the history of the world. Chuck Grassley, he's been sitting atop or intimately involved somewhere in the intricacies of the government that has administered the greatest mass murder and the greatest looting of the treasury in the history of the world. And he comes out after 60, how many years looting and killing? And he says he thinks he's found evidence that there were bank accounts linked to the Nazis in Switzerland. You're a genius, Chuck. It's no wonder you've been elected over and over and over since my dad was in high school. Chuck Grassley's been elected. Unbelievable. Chuck, how exactly are you going to benefit the world by revealing the specifics of what's always been generally known? Do you think publishing the actual bank account numbers and the ledgers is going to make any difference? We all knew the money was hidden in Switzerland. We all knew that already. It's almost as if Chuck Grassley wants to deflect attention from the fact that he's been looting the government and participating in the mass murder of more innocent people than anyone in the Nazi administration. Any Nazi, they blush at what you've been involved in, Chuck. And Chuck has been able to pawn himself off as a conservative the whole time. She puts Adolf Hitler to shame. Chuck Grassley, Adolf Hitler would be working in the mailroom in the Chuck Grassley office. Hitler would have not even a pimple on Chuck Grassley's political career, for crying out loud. Anyway. I don't know. Chuck Grassley is the poster boy for how the Republicans have looted the Treasury and murdered a generation of people, three generations of people, while pawning themselves off as conservatives. And I just hope Chuck Grassley joins Lindsey Graham in retirement as soon as possible. That's all. And Lindsey Graham is far less offensive than Chuck Grassley. I know people seem to hate Lindsey Vonn for, I'm not sure why.
Lindsey Vonn or Lindsey Graham?
Did I say Lindsey Graham? I meant Lindsey Vonn. Was I talking about Lindsey Graham? Everybody knows why people hate Lindsey Graham. That's obvious. Lindsey Vonn seems to rub people the wrong way. I don't know why. And Chuck Grassley seems to not. He gets elected. Do people throw spitballs at Lindsey Vonn? I don't like Lindsey Vonn, and I'm not sure why. But I know why I don't like Lindsey Graham, and I know why I don't like Chuck Grassley, and I know why I don't like Adolf Hitler. So there. Lindsey Vonn, I hope she recovers well. And all right. Meanwhile, I got a call from a friend the other night. He needed some advice on a life situation, but he stopped in the middle of a phone call to remind me how happy he was that Donald Trump was recommitting America to one nation under God. He said that to me. He said, "Haven't you heard?" I said, "Yeah, but Donald Trump doesn't know God."
He says it all the time.
Well, he says God all the time.
I mean, he said, I'm not. Anyway.
Yeah. You know, well, he's admitted in public that he's never apologized to God. So anyway, I told my friend, who's he's a MAGA type, but he still talks to me. He's one of the few. Most of them have cut me off. They don't want to hear it anymore. That's fine. But I told my friend, but Donald Trump doesn't know God. And he said, "Well, wait a minute." He said, what God do you think Donald Trump worships?" And I said, "Donald Trump."
Exactly.
And he said, "How can you say that? He's come out and said he goes to a church. He carries a Bible. He worships the same God we do." I know. But I said, "You know what? Donald Trump doesn't worship the same God we do. Donald Trump worships the same God most people do. And that's themselves. That's why Donald Trump is so populist and popular, is because he relates to most people. Most people worship themselves." Anyway, my friend thought that was impossible. And I said, "Well, where have you been?" Anyway, here's what he was referring to. I have a story here from the Gateway Pundit. A prophecy fulfilled, President Trump at the National Prayer Breakfast says, quote, we're going to re-detonate it. I can't even say it. See, Donald Trump, much slicker than me. He pulls these off without a flaw. We're going to rededicate America as one nation under God. That's what Donald Trump, unquote, he said that. It's from the Woke Religion File. And then we're reminded in the article by the Gateway Pundit, Father Giancomo Capoverde shared a story about a premonition. A premonition reported by the Hermit of Loreto. Back in the 1980s, the Hermit of Loreto had a premonition, a religious vision, really. It's a vision, if you will, about Donald Trump. That's right. The Hermit of Loreto in the 1980s donated a brick to be put in the holy door of the Vatican itself that said Donald Trump. It had Donald Trump's name on it, on the brick that was dedicated by the Hermit of Loreto. Why? Why? Because the Hermit said that he knew that this man, Donald Trump, would bring America back to God. That's right. That's the Hermit of Loreto. That's not me. I didn't hire anybody to write this. This is all happening naturally under the auspices of God, because the Hermit of Loreto obviously is a man of God. Why was a man of God putting a brick in the door of the Vatican? Did I say the Vatican? I meant the Vatican, the real one. The big, the pretty, beautiful, right? I wish I could have built that building. I could have, but I didn't, and it's a beautiful building, and there's a brick in the door with my name. Why? Because the Hermit knew that this man would bring America back to God. And so, now that I'm here at the National Prayer Breakfast, I just want to say, as we gather today, there are many signs, many, many, many signs that religion is coming back. It's now no longer just signs. It's just coming back. It's coming back so strong. It's bigger than anyone thought. It's bigger than I could have made it. It's bigger than anyone could have made it. I mean, I could have made it bigger. But it's bigger than anyone thought I could make it, even though I thought I could make it bigger and I could show you how. But still, it's big. The comeback of Bible sales through the roof. Church attendance is rising because, as the Hermit of Loreto predicted, this man, Donald Trump, would bring America back to God. And so I want to announce that on May 17th, 2026, May 17th, we are inviting Americans from all across the country to come together on our National Mall to pray, to give thanks, and to rededicate America as one nation under God. Unquote. That's Donald Trump at the National Prayer Breakfast. And then applause rips out for like 30 seconds of wall-to-wall applause. Donald Trump has to raise his hand and try to calm the crowd down. There's such a rush of applause at the National Prayer Breakfast. After the applause, Donald Trump says, thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's what I mean by the spirit. It's so incredible. It's so incredible to see it. So much of it, I've never seen anything like it. Thank you very much. To be a great nation, however, I think, and I may be wrong, but I don't think so, because I've watched a lot and I study a lot. I know a lot of things. I have a very high IQ. I have very good genes. I've looked a lot, I've talked a lot, I've said a lot, I've seen a lot, I know a lot. I'm a great man. I'm a great American. But to be great, to be a great nation, and I study a lot. I graduated top of my class, by the way. Very, very high-end school. To be a great nation, you have to have religion. Religion, that's right. I said the word religion. You have to have it. You have to have it. You have to have faith. You have to have God, unquote. That's Donald Trump at the National Prayer Breakfast, where he listed our need for religion and faith. And at the end, he even mentioned God. Not by name, and he never made mention of Jesus Christ, because, well, you know, we focus tested that, and we know what phrases work. Thank you very much. I'm very good at this. Did I tell you that I have a very high IQ? Very good at this. I know exactly what works. I know exactly what doesn't work. I know exactly what to say. and it's big. It's very big, and I'm only going to make it bigger. All right, meanwhile, ladies and gentlemen, because we have to close, I'm going late. I'm sorry about that. I was channeling Donald Trump. When that's happening, you just can't stop it because it's big. I mean, it just goes. But I got a few headlines here from Alpha News. This is from the Devil May Care file. The Children's Minnesota Hospital Group plans to stop prescribing puberty blockers and hormones to minors. Did you get that? Big hospital group in Minnesota says they're going to stop prescribing puberty blockers and hormones to minors. Then the next day, there was another headline where the ASPS, the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, has become the first major medical society to renounce gender surgeries for minors. That's right. The Plastic Surgery Society has renounced plastic surgery sex change operations for minors. And then the next day, the story of Chloe Cole, the detransitioning teenager who took the doctors and the psychologists and the perverts who talked her into mutilating herself as a teenager. She took him to court, and she won. I don't know how much she won, but she won her court case against the people who abused and mutilated her. And so to the first two stories, these are reported in right-wing media outlets as if they're successes, but I'm telling you, the devil will take that. The devil's happy that we're willing now to talk about sex change and gender reassignment for minors, because what that means is the devil has now won the cultural mainstreaming of transgenderism in the adult world, and that's really what he was going for. One step at a time, as the devil says. The devil's the original 12-stepper, one day at a time. So the devil will take that. Anyway, detransitioner Chloe Cole said, after winning her court case against the perverts who mutilated her and abused her, she said, "I think it would only be right if every single doctor and clinic involved in this has their wallets completely drained and they're all thrown in prison." Unquote. Amen, Chloe Cole. But you know what the unfortunate thing is? Chloe Cole was not able to participate in a criminal trial of the people who abused and mutilated her because it's not illegal. And even if they make it illegal to do it to minors, it's not illegal to do it to... Anyway, the fact that the idea of utterly rebelling against God publicly by renouncing your sex is okay for adults, that's a win for the devil. And it should be illegal to do it, to say it, to promote it, and it's not. And so... America certainly needs to be led back to God. I'm not sure I trust Donald Trump to do it. And that's why we come back here on the Weekly Worldview as often as we can. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next time. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.